Be the first to be notified of our latest streamings by subscribing to our YouTube channel, Word of Faith Ministries. Don't forget to like, comment, and share.
Word of Faith Ministries, establishing the kingdom of God and changing lives with the message of faith and the grace of Jesus Christ with a practical, biblical, and balanced teaching you can trust.
Father, we thank you and we love you. Thank you for your truth and thank you for your word. And we honor you, Lord. We bless you. We give you the glory and the honor. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And thank you, Father, for your truth. We speak that wisdom and that revelation. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you guide us and teach us and reveal to us. And we thank you for it. Amen. Okay. I'm going to continue with what I've been speaking on honor. Here's something very interesting. The honor that comes from God will enrich you in all areas. Notice this, in all areas. The majority of you were here with us for these few weeks where we were speaking on the false message of prosperity. You remember? False message of prosperity, but the biblical prosperity is a true message. It's biblical. I'm speaking the false message where people abuse, amen, the message. But there's something biblical with this. And another area is that message where they teach a lot of materialism. Biblical prosperity and materialism are two very different things. Materialism is when people are focused on just money. One of the areas in which you live in a biblical prosperity or materialism is when you use the money that God has given you and you're in debt. Do that with that. Oh, amen, amen. And then quickly, it all went down. It's true. It's the truth. I'm not condemning anyone, but that's the truth. When we use what we have and we're in debt to show to the world or to our family or whoever that we're blessed, in quotation marks, we're blessed, in quotation marks. But we're in debt, or people are in debt, many of them. Many times, those people, if it is that the Spirit did not lead you, is not to help them. Because when you give those people, I'm speaking about brothers in Christ, when you help them, but you see that they are not good administrators of their money, you're capacitating them that they can continue in that lifestyle. Thank you for that thunder of silence. It's true. It's true. One thing is love, and I want to speak on that as well, on the principles of God, so you can understand. Because especially parents or brothers and sisters in Christ, a family, they say, oh, it's because he's my son. People have told me here, oh, she's my daughter, I have to help her. And or they're my son, and you're pushing them farther away from God. What you're doing is they put something in the natural and they don't see the spiritual. You're pushing them farther away from the things of God. Because those people do not seek God as their source, as their help. They don't seek Him because they know that, be it parents, brothers, uncles, will be helping them always. They never develop their faith to believe God and operate in the laws of the kingdom. Am I saying that we shouldn't help? No, I did not say that. What I said is who and when. Did you know, my son, I've taught him, to Anthony, I've taught him, and it's one of the ways that I taught him how to produce money, is I would lend him money to buy chickens. And I'd lend it to him, not all the time, but I would lend him money that he could buy animals or his chickens, and then he'd pay it back. One time, he arrived, and he was just a little kid. I don't know, maybe 14, 15, 13, 14 years old. And in front of my dad, he paid me $150 for this. I said, here it is, Dad. I was able to put it all back together. And my dad, his grandfather, He was visiting and he said, "What is that?" And I said, "Oh, he owed me some money that I helped him to buy some chickens and he would pay me back." He said, how are you going to charge your own child? How are you going to do that?" And I said, "I'm teaching him responsibility. Not that I'm charging him. He doesn't pay rent by what he eats, and in parentheses, and he consumes a lot of food. But I was teaching him responsibility to this day." You teach them responsibility. Let's see if I remember correctly, Nubia. He bought a guitar, right? That one? Yeah. And we said, "Here, use this credit card, right? Ours. Nubia's and ours," and he paid it. And he did not fall back. Because he did not fall back on it, and he was able to pay it in time. Because giving payments, you just minimum payments, you fall behind. Because people don't know how to handle their money. It's part of honoring. It's part of being an administrator. It's part of being an administrator and a steward. Being a steward. One thing is the blessings of God. One thing is the blessing, or apologies. One thing is the manifestation of the blessings of God. And another thing is the manifestation of the admin, of the stewardness of God. I don't know if the change in climate is affecting you from hot to cold. I'm not referring to climate change that the world is preaching. Just more so it's getting cold here. But it's all very good when we say something. When we say something that sometimes doesn't hit as nice, or it condemns you. But that's how this works. Now, I'm going to start the very basics, because the honors of God won't enrich you. The issue is, when the riches comes, what will you do with them? So in 3 John, I'll start very, very basic. 3 John 1:2, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things," in all things. Notice that prosperity then, or to become enriched, is not just in finances or money, but it means in all things, that you may prosper in all things. "And be in health, just as your soul prospers." The last part, or better said, the part where it says, "as your soul prospers," is referring to as you change your way of thinking, as you renew your mind, you renew your way of thinking, you will prosper then in all areas. But in all areas then, it also means, when you prosper in all areas, it also indicates prosperity and being enriched means to advance, not to fall back, but to advancement, going forward, never backwards. So materialism, was speaking of just money, but not just money, but focusing on things, material things. I personally, I don't know about you, but I know people who live very, very, very nice, very wealthy. I think even better than I do in material things. Be it the car that they drive compared for the car that I drive. And it might seem that they're more blessed, in quotation marks. But in reality, prosperity is measured by what you give, by how generous you are in the kingdom of God. And that's very important to understand. And another is that prosperity has to do in all areas. Because people can have things, but their children are in the world, or they're not interested in the things of God, or they're cold. Or this man that just comes to mind, his wife wants nothing to do with the things of God, nor his children. He's the only one that is solitary in the things of God in that family. Amen. Amen. So what's so good in that? And the man lives very well. I don't know, I wouldn't like to be in that situation personally. So prosperity is prosperity in your marriage, if you're married. prosperity in your relationship with your children, but all has to do with your relationship with God, first of all. So that there can be wisdom, that there can be prosperity in all areas. So God will enrich you in all areas. Verse 4. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Now, humility doesn't mean being poor. It means being obedient, submitting to God. By the fear of the Lord. So, riches, honor, and life. By humility. Now the New Living Translation, please, in that same verse. True humility and fear of the Lord lead to riches, honor, and long life. So, what's so good in having parents in this country, I see, especially in the body of Christ, many of them just in debt. And their children live in dishonor, their homes are a mess, and then they present in other places, in other churches, as if, oh, yeah, we're people of faith. No, faith will be shown through you. Not that everything will be perfect, I'd like it to, but it will be noticed in you, because faith gives results. Faith will give results, a spirit, soul, and body, and financially, to the way of God. Are you understanding this? Not debts that don't let you sleep. There are Christians who, God forbid, if they lost the job that they have, they lose everything. Because in reality, what they have is not theirs, it's the bank's. Am I saying that it's wrong that you're perhaps paying off a home or something? No, but how? Again, faith is shown like this. Are you being a steward of, instead of spending, you're giving more than that, than the minimum of that payment? Are you giving more of the payment of the car? If the payment is $500, you're giving $600, $800 to be able to break out of that debt? That is faith. That's why faith will be shown. Amen. Then you qualify so that God can give you more increase. But you cannot qualify if, let's see this, let's see a bit of honor. Now, first book of Samuel, 1 Samuel 2. And where did all of this come from? 1 Samuel 2, verse 30. Therefore, the Lord God of Israel says, I said indeed that your house and the house of your father would walk before me forever. But now the Lord says, far be it from me, for those who honor me, I will honor. And those who despise me shall be lightly esteemed. If you see this verse, it's as if God suddenly changed opinion. Right? As if God just suddenly said, no, you know what? No, not anymore. You could say, oh, well, what if God tells me something and then he changes his mind? But what's happening here is you have to understand the principles of the kingdom. One more time. Therefore, the Lord God of Israel says, I said indeed that your house and the house of your father would walk before me forever. But now the Lord says, far be it from me. So it may seem like God changed his opinion here. Let's go to Genesis chapter 1. Before going there, all the first of chapter 1, the first 25 verses is of the creation of the earth. But in verse 26, and this has not changed, and you have to understand, there are biblical principles that do not change, regardless of the time that we are in. Today, legally speaking, I'm referring to biblically speaking, we are under the new, the dispensation of the new grace, which is the sixth, not speaking grace as a subject, grace as the time that we are living in. And you cannot change it. Regardless, if we speak on grace, some do not like it. Some people say, oh, that of grace, it doesn't work for me. People grab debauchery for it. Well, it's as I said. Then we can't preach biblical prosperity because people misunderstand. People in our area, I've seen it for more than 20 years, being in debt. So is the solution to not speak? No, it's to speak and to teach and preach and continue speaking and teaching what is biblical until those people understand. So when God said, 26, then God said, let us make man in our own image. This principle has not changed to this day. According to our likeness, let them have dominion. That dominion over the fish of the sea, etc., over all the earth. Then 27, so God created man in his own image, in the image of God. He created them. 28, then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Now this principle is here. This principle, to this day, God gave. We see that God blessed them. God gave them blessing or favor or grace to multiply. Then another thing that he gave them in 29, and God said, see, I have given you every herb that yields seed. Gave them seed. It's the method in which God gave man to have dominion with seed. But what happened after this? We see farther ahead that man lost that dominion and lost that authority. Yes, we see principles of the kingdom. God lost the dominion now that he had given to man. In other words, God and man lost the dominion here on earth. Why? Because man gave that dominion and that authority to Satan, delivered it into his hands. Amen? You have to understand these points. This has not changed to this day. Which is why the Word of God says and mentions Satan as the God, lowercase g, the God of this world. Meaning that to this day, Satan has the dominion. Satan was given that authority. Do you remember? Remember that. We saw it because I don't want to go to those verses. Not today. Because I'm going to waste a lot of time and I'm not going to enter into what I want to speak on, what the Lord wants me to speak on. But you remember when the Bible says the God of this world, speaking of Satan. Do you remember when Satan told the Lord Jesus Christ, if you worship me, all these kingdoms of the world will be yours. And he said some key words, because they have been given to me, and to whom I want, I can give. Who delivered it to him? Adam. That has not changed, even though the times have changed. To this day, it is still in operation. That has nothing to do with law or Old Testament or grace or New Testament. That will change. You know when it'll change? How many of you remember? Because we've seen it. We've seen it a few times now. Just with at least one person who can tell me. I don't feel like I've lost time. No one remembers? Yes, for 1,000 years in the millennium. Thank you. That will finish in the 1,000 years that the Lord will reign. So the Lord still has to operate through people. What changed was that specifically in the time that is known as the law of Moses, God had to put the law and the statutes of the law as an obligation. Because the people, by this time, human beings were so, had their hearts so hardened, were so separated from God, that God had to put the law as an obligation so that they could do what the law said. And since no one could fully do everything in the law to this day, but back then, what did he put apart from the law inside of? What did he put? The sacrifices. So if they did those things, God could then manifest and bless them. Because Satan has the authority, had and has. I'll give you an example, practical example. If you're renting a home, but you're the owner, but you're renting it, if any of you have experienced that, where you have paid someone, where you're renting, you live in the home of someone, can the owner then of that home just enter when you're occupying it? No, he can't. But you're not the owner, right? No, you're not the owner. There is an owner, but there is a contract of rent. So you can't just go in there. So Satan has the same thing. So Satan owns this world, which is why we see disgraces, hurricanes, natural disasters all over the place, deaths, disgraces. Tremendous amounts. Some places where there's excessive rain, others smaller. In some places it rains too much, in others it doesn't. In other places it's drying up. In others there's flooding that kills people. Why? Because Satan is the one that provokes all of this. It's not God. And people become hardened against God. The earth is unbalanced due to the sin of man, not of God. And Satan takes advantage of that. Now, Luke, I'll just mention it, because even then I still see a face of what on some of you. And although I've repeated it for many years, one after another, after another, after another, and another. That's how this is. I just remembered what Paul told Timothy. Preach the word. Time and out of time, with patience, with doctrine. Luke 4. Then Jesus, being filled with the Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. And in those days he ate nothing, and afterward, when they had ended, he was hungry. And the devil said to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread." But Jesus answered, saying, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." Then the devil, taking him up on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, "All this authority I will give you, and their glory, for this has been delivered to me, and I can give to whomever I wish." Now, New Living Translation, please. I will give the glory of these kingdoms and authority over them, the devil said, because they are mine to give to anyone I please. So who gave it to him? Adam. In the fall of man, chapter 3 of Genesis. Don't go there, because we're not going to go there to study that. You're not going to understand the next point that I'm going to make. And which is why, to this day, Satan has the dominion. To this day. In chapter 14 of John, John 16. No, that's not true. It's three parts of John where...
Help me, Lord.
Help me, Lord, please. Yes, thank you, Lord. 12:31 of John. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. So how will they be cast out, but it's still here? What is it referring to? What is this referring to? I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me. Prince being the ruler, someone with authority. He has nothing in me because he did not give place to the devil. But in 12:31, now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. Well, what I'm reading here has to do with Hebrews 12. Let's see if someone can explain it to me. I'm speaking things that I've taught for many years. But if you're not filled with this, and you're just filled with the trash of the world and the information of the world, the Word of God will have no effect in your life. Chapter 2, verse 14. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shares in the same, that through death he may destroy him. So it's talking about the devil here. But destroy what? What is this referring to? Who remembers? Thank you. Who said that? To incapacitate. The word destroy does not mean destroying him as you destroyed a piece of paper or a document, burned it up. No, it's referring to incapacitate him. How? When the Lord Jesus Christ died and resurrected, we were given authority. But if you don't use it, the devil then takes advantage of that. So the world, the pagans, when I'm referring to the world, live under that authority of the devil. Which is why we have people supporting everything. Supporting candidates who are ungodly. Who promote things that go contrary to the word of God. But the devil continues occupying the place of Adam to this day. Do you understand? The authority. Let's suppose in the military. They have a sort of a jacket with medals. And why do you think that they have that special jacket and they have certain medals and certain pins clipped on? Why? It's their rank that they have, but it gives them what? Authority. They go to any military base around the world, of the United States, speaking here the United States, and they'll go to any base, and you know what'll happen? Amen. Why? Because this represents authority, well, in their case. Well, so you can understand, Satan has that jacket on him to this day. Adam gave it to him. So the world lives under the ungodly. But if you and I, who are in Christ, do not change our way of thinking, and we continue acting and speaking like the world acts, then we're just going to receive the same consequences as. Amen. So that's where you have to understand the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God and the grace of God. You have to put grace in the position that grace has with God. Faith in the position that it has with God. And the kingdom, or the principles of the kingdom, for example, grace. Grace. An example of grace. Unconditional love of God and the finished works of Christ Jesus. That means that salvation was given, it was paid for. That's it. But now here comes the principle of the kingdom. The world, that salvation that was paid for can manifest in their life. They have to believe, confess Jesus as their Lord and Savior. But if someone says, no, I don't believe any of that. No, I can be saved by other methods. I don't need Jesus. So, look at grace. It was paid for, do you understand? It was paid for. Jesus paid for it. Do you understand that? But will this person be saved? No, they won't be saved. Technically speaking, they are not saved. Legally, it was paid for. But the person did not receive it, because now comes the principles of the kingdom. Do you understand? You have doubts or questions, anything? Very, very quickly, just something that I can give advice. Regardless of how many came, I'll sometimes stay here long hours, stayed 1 or 2 hours after the service when people have questions. And even then, I'll tell them, because the majority of you know how, perhaps two of you right now don't, two or three, but the majority of you have an email. The majority of you, I'll tell you, send your questions through the email. I can answer all of those questions. Why? Because you need to understand. Not just being a Christian with no understanding. Christ loves me. God loves me. I will be fine. One person told me, just tell me that everything will be all right. Well, I can't tell you that everything will be all right with that lifestyle. A person who lives in constant worry, in constant fear. I can't tell you that. Because that's all I need to hear. Well, I will be fine there? No, it won't be fine. If you don't operate in the kingdom, in the way of the kingdom. Understanding that part. Let's see what happened in 1 Samuel chapter 2. We read 30. Now, let's go a bit back. Second Samuel or 1 Samuel 2:12. And what happened here, we'll see the contrary of honor. We'll see dishonor. We'll see what I just spoke right now. Eli, you know who he was? He was a judge before the kings, before the time of kings in Israel. Eli had authority. But Eli, the same of many modern parents, Christian, and of the world, did not exercise his authority. And look at what happened. 1 Samuel 2:12. Now the sons of Eli were corrupt. They did not know the Lord. You know, that word literally means they were children of God. Corrupt children of Satan. Look at how it says it in English. Look at English. Now the sons of Eli were corrupt. Oh, that's the new. King James. Sons of Belial. Verse 13, and the priest's custom with the people was that when any man offered a sacrifice, the priest's servant would come with a three-pronged flesh hook in his hand while the meat was boiling. This meat was of the sacrifice under the law of Moses. 14, then he would thrust it into the pan or kettle or cauldron or pot, and the priest would take for himself all that the flesh hook brought up. So they did in Shiloh to all the Israelites who came there. Now, where did all this come from? Let's see in Leviticus, in the law, so we can understand this. Leviticus, go with me to chapter 7. Leviticus 7, because you have to do it with understanding or see what it is that they were trying to do here. Leviticus 7, verse 1. Likewise is the law of the trespass offering. It is most holy. What did these sacrifices represent? Huh? What did it represent? Every animal that was sacrificed represented Jesus. For God, this was very sacred. And it was very important. And although, since they were people who were dead spiritually dead, they had not been born again, none of them. Why? Because Jesus hadn't come yet. So for God, this was very important. And they would do things that they did not understand. But God didn't care. He didn't want them to understand. He wanted them to do it. Because why did He want them to do it? For what I just said. Because God wanted to bless them. But Satan, using his legal authority, the kingdom of God, as the kingdom of the world, operates in something that is known as illegal language. One more time. When you go to a court, be it they accuse you or they defend you, your lawyer that will defend you has to defend you based on the legal constitution, which is why there's a court system there. They will not go out of the constitution, supposedly. You understand that? Which is why certain things that have been done under this administration is unconstitutional, but I won't touch on that. They go out of the constitution. Well, the reason that God gave them this law is their type of constitution, so that Satan couldn't come and just accuse them. One more time. In the natural, you do something against society. You rob a bank, you commit murder or something. And the attorney, which is the one that will accuse you in court, will accuse you based on the law that you violated, or the laws that you violated, which is why there are people who are represented more than just one charge. We're good so far. So why do you think that suddenly he just said that, you know what, I just don't like this guy and I'm going to accuse him? No, it has to be under the law. So the devil would come with God and say, hey, I have dominion. You don't have the right to bless them. So, now here comes this. How did God enter here into this earth? Through a man, God lost dominion, who was Adam. But God then, just look at the love of God. God could have said, hey, you know what? Do it however you want. Destroy yourselves, die, do whatever. But God loved humanity so much that God now entered to work here on this earth through someone. Who was that? Who? Who? Abraham, exactly. And God made covenant with Abraham. What authority did Abraham have? What authority do you have? Very simple. What authority did Abraham have? Yeah, I mean, he grabbed Abraham, made covenant with him, but what? I'll give you an example of a home that you're renting. You live under someone. You're renting a home for someone, the owner of that home. And then I come. And I tell the owner, hey, well, just give it, just come in, it's your house. And then you say, the owner comes in and you said, hey, why are you coming in? I'm paying rent, there's a contract. And he says, oh, but Brother Hughes told me to come in. First thing you're going to say is, who are you? What authority do you have? What did Abraham have? What was that? What was in Abraham that was so special? Because he could have done it with someone else. Because the others didn't want to. What Abraham had is very simple. What was that? Faith, yeah. That's fine. But he had something. He was what? Oh, that's fine. Yeah, obedient. That's fine. No. It has nothing to do with that. Yeah, he was more sensible to the voice of God, which is why he chose him. As I said, he could have chosen any of the descendants of Cain or of Abel. Yeah, the Bible says that he believed God exactly. But he had something apart from that. Very simple. It was this. All those are fine, but there's something that it's something that you have to this day. Exactly. That you were born here on this earth. That's it. Satan is a spirit. The dominion that he has is that Adam delivered it to him, which is why the devil could not just come onto the earth and say, I dominated. He had to do it through a man. This body gives us the authority to live here on this earth, which is why when someone dies, they're buried here, but their spirit goes up to heaven or hell, and that's it. Adam has all of that you have. He was sensible to the voice of God. He had faith. But what else did you say? Obedient. What else? All that was fine. But all the other people had them that were there. He had, as the other human beings, he had the authority to live here. You have more a fly has more authority than the devil. It's serious. But the devil that the authority uses is the one through the world, through many governors, through many important people that are admired, the so-called artists, where they don't even have an ounce of integrity in their lives, many of them. Are we good till there? So the authority that Satan exercises to this day, Satan has to manifest through someone. I say it like that because we've spoken it for years already. Or in past times, we've spoken on it. So, that Satan could not just come and say, oh, you have nothing to do here, God. He started working with Abraham. With Abraham. He could have done it with Noah and his children. A long story to touch on what happened there. So he made a covenant with Abraham. That was a covenant of grace without being under the time of grace. Because they were figures and types of what was to come, which was the Lord Jesus. Which is why that nonsense of tithing is of the law are of ignorant people. Tithing did not happen in the Mosaic law. It started with Abraham in Genesis. Well, let's see what happened here. Chapter 7. Verse 2. Notice this has to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. In the place where they kill the burnt offering, they shall kill the trespass offering, and his blood he shall sprinkle all around the altar. He shall offer from it is the fat tail, and the fat that covers the entrails, the two kidneys, etc. 5. And the priest shall burn them as the altar as an offering made by fire to the Lord God. It is a trespass offering. Notice how from verse 2 to verse 5, it was a part of God, what corresponded to God. From verse 6 onward is what corresponded to the priest. Every man among the priests may eat it. It shall be eaten in a holy place. It is most holy. It is very dedicated, aparted for the Lord. The trespass offering is like the sin offering. There is one law for them both. The priest who makes atonement with it shall have it. And the priest who offers anyone's burnt offering, that priest shall have for himself the skin of the burnt offering which he was offered. So from verse 6 to verse 10 was for the priest. So do you think that that they what? They were what? They were types, figures of what was to come. So there are things that, God gives to you, but don't grab what is for God. Simple as that. And what if we're going to use the grace of God now? With more reason, we should respect the things of God. With more reason. Because by grace, we were made children of God, temples of the Holy Spirit. Now the presence of God lives in us, etc. We were given authority. Now the devil doesn't have authority over us. The only authority that the devil can have is what you and I give him. Amen. But he can no longer come, which is why he was incapacitated. That he couldn't just come because he wanted to, because, oh, well, Adam gave me authority, now I'm going to kill you. No, he can't do that. Unless you give him that authority. Now I want you to see this. Verse 9, and every grain offering that is baked in the oven and that is prepared in the cover pan or in a pan shall be the priest who offers it. Every grain offering, whether mixed with oil or dry, shall belong to all the sons of Aaron, to one as much as the other. Now go to chapter 2. First Samuel 2:14. Then he would thrust it into the pan or kettle or cauldron or pot, and the priest would take it for himself of the fresh hook brought up. So, and the priest would take for himself all that the flesh hook brought up. That they did in Silo. And verse 15, also before they burned the fat, what was the fat? That was that. For God, the priest's servant would come and say to the men who sacrificed, give meat for roasting to the priest. So the children of Eli were priests, and they were ungodly. And their father never, since they had to be children, because they were already adult men. And Eli truly was an elder, was old. But what happened? Why did the children convert into that? Because it had to do with their parents. Or in this case, the parent, which was Eli, which is what the Bible mentions. Eli was not responsible for the decisions that his children took of how they acted, but he was responsible because he permitted it, because although he was an old man, he was the judge. He could have removed them as priests. Remember, he was a judge, but there were people who worked under him. He said, arrest my children, remove them from there. They are my children, I love them, but they cannot be in that position. Amen. So what were they doing? They were grabbing the part that was for God. Can you see that? Remember what we saw? Before burning the fat again. In Leviticus 7, verse 3, verse 4, the two kidneys and the fat that is on them by the flanks. We saw in Leviticus, that was for God. First Samuel 2:16. And if the man said to him, they should really burn the fat first, the man sacrificing there. They should really burn the fat first. Why would he say that? Because it was what the law said. Because that's what Leviticus from 7:5 said, it was the offering for God. It was the offering for God. Amen. We saw in Leviticus. Verse 16. And the man said to him, they shall really burn the fat first, then you may take as much as your heart desires. He would then answer him, say, no, but give you much, give it now, and if not, I will take it by force. They did not respect. They did not honor. Are you seeing this? Verse 17. Therefore, the sin of the young man was very great before the Lord. For men abhorred the offering of the Lord. Who are men here? No. Notice again, verse 17. Therefore, the sin of the young man was very great before the Lord. The young men were the children of Eli, the two sons. The men, speaking of people in general. The people did not respect, as nowadays, many pastors do not respect the work of God. Therefore, the people will not respect. Many pastors do not honor God with their lives, with their lifestyles. And it's not just for pastors. We're going to talk to all believers in general. Amen. They do not honor God. So what's going to happen? Their children or the people in general, the people will not honor God when they do not see an example from us. Now, here comes the question. How many of you know that I know my people? I know my people. Well, Brother Hughes, I've honored God. I've made an effort. And my family haven't. Oh, we'll leave them. But they do not dishonor God because you don't give him honor. Make sure of that. Again, verse 17. Therefore, the sin of the young men was very great before the Lord. For men, you see, the difference between young men and men. Men is not talking about the sons of Eli. It's speaking about the people in general. My brothers and sisters, your family, my family, your friendships, my friendships, whatever, will never honor God if they do not see that we honor him. They will never see that. They will never see that. They will never honor God, apologies. If they don't see that we honor God. Never. Because the closest that they can see God is you, especially if you're born again, you have a lot of time, you speak in tongues, you speak of God, you pray for them. Why was it so great? Verse 17, therefore the sin of the young men was very great. So if you don't have the Spirit of God, you can see and say, oh man, God is so exaggerated. Oh man. Oh, he's so religious. You could accuse him of that. It's because all of this was to represent what was to come. You remember when the Bible says that when they would burn the offering, it was incense. That incense. Why do you think, was it the same as when, we smell like that? Oh, fresh meat. Oh, no, it's not talking about that. It means that incense, because that odor was reminding him that Jesus was to be sacrificed for you and me. When you read the Bible again, you have to see it in the light of the New Testament. I'll give you another verse. I just remembered. You're going to like it. Because this verse, in religion, they use it a lot to condemn. But you have to see it, because again, if you don't see this, if you don't see it spiritually with revelation of the Holy Spirit, you'll see it as, oh, it's God is so exaggerated. Oh, why is it so much? He should grab just a little bit from there. But for God, they were sacred. And his things are sacred. Because he knows that when you and I go contrary, Satan comes and attacks us. If you saw your kid using drugs, do you think, I mean, what are you doing? You're destroying your life. You wouldn't like it a lot, would you? Which is why for God, this is very sacred. Now go with me to Isaiah chapter 59, so you can see the example. This has nothing to do better. Apologies, you have to see this with light of the New Testament. 59, verse 1 and 2. Using verse 1, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor is ear heavy that it cannot hear. Meaning that this has to do with honor. I'll explain it some other time. But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. So people, be it they preach from this, read it, and quickly they're condemned. Now, this does apply to us in the New Testament, but you should grab the correct application, incorrect. First of all, where it says to save, it can be of salvation, as it can be rescue, to help you to get out of a situation. And verse 1 clearly says that his ear is not heavy that it cannot hear. But 2, but your iniquities have separated you from your God. Separating, dividing, gets the idea of separating, and everyone goes their own way. Well, if you're going to apply it like that, speaking under as a Christian who is cold, dry in the things of the world, and then you preach them of this, if it were that way, literally, like reading verse 2, if any of you have a child, have a son, a daughter, an uncle, a nephew, grandfathers, cousins who are cold or acting as people of the world, then don't pray. Don't pray for them. Don't pray for them then. Because here it says that they've made a division between God and their sins. Your sin has hidden his face from you. Meaning that it doesn't mean that. It means that, does it mean that God will turn around, cover his ears? No, it's not talking about that. For them, yes, in the covenant. But sin will bring you consequences. Better said, in the New Testament, it's you who will not hear from God. And notice what continues in verse 3. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongue has muttered perversity. No one calls for justice, nor does any plead for truth. Their trust is empty words and speak lies. They conceive evil and bring forth iniquity, etc. And you know what's happening? That this will bring you consequences. And it could kill you, the devil could kill you, unless you repent. Did I make myself clear? If you repent, then the Lord here tells you in verse 1, he has not made his ear heavy that he cannot hear, or he has not shortened his hand that he cannot save. But in the middle of it, if the Christian does not repent and continues and keeps going and going, you can fall in that sin of death that John spoke of and start putting layers of disobedience and sin one after another. And you or I harden our heart towards God. Amen. It's like the rapture. Speaking of the rapture, we can preach to people. You're cold, you're going to stay here during the rapture. Now, and then people who are cold. Will they come for faith or out of fear? Out of fear. Is our faith and fear the same? No. They will come for a time. And then again. Because fear will pass. Faith is a solution. Understanding. Assurance in God. Understanding with revelation of who we are in Christ. That's the solution. Take me for example. I won't share my testimony in quotation marks, but I told you I was of the worst people of the world. The devil, he is the father of depression because he lost me. And since I was born again, at the end of the 90s till now, I have never, never exaggerating, but never gone cold, and I've never gone back. Why? Because I'm better than other people? No. Simply, I understood this. And you have the same capacity that I do to understand. You have the same Holy Spirit. Or is it another Holy Spirit? Or is it another Jesus? No. But there can be a difference between you and I. It's like this. Like this is a difference. You know what it's called? Huh? Decision. Decide or obey. Deciding to obey or disobey God. Period. Hallelujah. Now, let's go back because I'm about to up. Oh, okay. Now, 2 Samuel. We were in 2 Samuel. 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel 2, correct? Samuel 2:17. Now, let's go to verse 22. Now, Eli was very old, and he heard everything his sons did to all Israel, and how they lay with the women who assembled at the door of the tabernacle of meeting, apart from not taking care of the offering. And he said, verse 23, why do you do such things? For I hear of your evil doings from all the people. You know why? Because he permitted it. That's it. You know how Eli and his sons ended up? Dead. Eli died, being decapitated. What happened? He permitted it. Verse 24. No, my sons, for it is not a good report that I hear. You make the Lord's people transgress. And that's it. Those were all his. I'm going to sit down, talk with my kids, like many parents. There are moments of speaking, there are moments of acting. When my children were small kids, I'd sit down with them. Until this day, I do. But when they started growing, you can ask them. I give them an order and they disobeyed. They already knew here in Douglas, wherever, Tucson, Phoenix, California, Los Angeles, Texas, wherever we were at, they gave me a bad report. Look, you know what was next? Uh-huh. I don't know if you remember how our parents educated us and our grandparents. And we had a different society back then. And nowadays we have weak parents, spiritually speaking. Parents that let society and the internet tell them how to take care of the children. And look at the society we have now. I remember when I was a kid, my two granddads, dad of my mom, sometimes gave me with the belt. Why? Because they were so mean. No, it was because the tremendous one was me. They left my... They left the names very, very marked here on my legs. Hughes and Aviles. I never forgot my last name. Amen. And it wasn't like, oh, I'm your grandparent or it's because I scolded you. No, my parents were never asking that. There was more honor and more respect towards family. The values of family. There was more respect towards our parents. One time I was in the home of a friend from school. We were eating, we were doing homework, and they prepared lunch, and his grandparents were there. I remember the grandparents back then and the people of back then. They were true Catholics. You know, they would go to Mass, they would respect God. So we sat down to eat, and mom and dad were there, and grandparents were there, both of them. And The grandmother started and said, let's give thanks to God for the sacred meals. And I said, that's how my grandmother does it sometimes as well. They put their hands like this, they'd interlock their fingers, close their eyes, not because they were falling asleep or acting dumb, they'd close their eyes out of respect, and they'd say, Father, Lord, bless these meals, these sacred meals. Thank you, because we lack nothing in this house. Well, you and I, studying the Bible, we say, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Well, they didn't, because perhaps they didn't know much, but they would do the cross. Some evangelicals get scared. Oh, well, I'm talking about them. I no longer do that because I no longer have faith for that. I have faith to speak what the word says. But when I'm with people like that, I don't get scared, because look at how they say in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You see how they didn't say in the name of the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet. They weren't saying that. How in Apocalypse, the satanic trinity. Well, the brother. Of one of my friends, I think I was about 9 or 10 years old. Both of them, because I was in at his home doing homework, but I sat down to eat with them. The brother, 14, 15 years old, those uneducated teens, opened his eyes and said, "Yeah, oh yeah, the same as yesterday. Beans, potatoes, and meat, but the piece of meat just smaller." And you know what the grandmother did? The grandfather turned around, and here's something. But the grandmother quickly smacked him on the mouth and said, "Do not blaspheme." Now that's no longer used. Now we have parents who act as jello of how weak they are. The jello is stronger than they are. Which is why we have the disgraces that we have now in the world. And we want the public churches to, the public schools to educate them? Really? And then parents, in the schools they don't teach them anything. Exactly. Education starts at home. For starters, you shouldn't even have them in those public schools. There we go again, so YouTube can cancel my video. Yeah. Now, what was happening? That they did not respect the offerings of the Lord Jesus to this day. They did not respect anything. And you know what? God let them die. He couldn't do anything with them. But it all started because of Eli. Eli perhaps loved God. Perhaps he respected God to a certain point. But he let his children grow up that way. Amen. We cannot use then the truths that there are of the principles of the Old Testament and say, because I'm under grace, as someone told me years ago, I'll give you this advice. I'll give it to you because I live by it and I can show it with the Bible. I'm not going to do it now, but because then we're going to be very late. But if you're going to use the example of grace, the grace of God, the time that we live in, speaking of tithings and offerings, that means, I told this person, that means that you give more than the 10%. A person who is understood is going to say, people have told me, people who understand, well, you know what, Brother Hughes, someone that I know, not from here, but from another place, I'm like you. I don't practice tithing. I give more than tithing. And he said, because I am under the grace of God. Now, tithing is good to practice it, and it's honorable. And it's a starting point. It's biblical. But if you're going to use grace as a way to say, I don't tithe because I'm under grace, that means that any person who is understanding will know that you give more than that. That's what I do. Normally. I give more than that. I don't put pressure. We should not be under pressure. We should speak the truth. But I'm saying if we're going to use the grace as an excuse, that means then we're going to give more than 10%. You speak with Mom Betty Price, and she'll tell you the same thing. And she'll tell you, as she is under the grace of God, you know what she does? She gives more than the 10%. You understand? Meaning, it is not valid to say, those people that you hear say, I don't give anything because I'm under grace. That's not true. Better said, it's because they don't trust in God. Because they are the authors of their own prosperity. You know that you can prosper without God? You can prosper without God. Don't you see how many pagan people there are in the world that they don't need God to prosper? You can prosper without God, but I don't recommend it. Because that prosperity comes, but then the devil will come and charge you, and it will charge you very expensively. But you can prosper to the way of God and honor God. In 1 Samuel 2:20, speaking of honor, I wasn't able to touch on honor. I want to show you the words of honor, but 1 Samuel 2:20. No, 2:30, apologies. Now you understand why he said that Therefore the Lord of Israel said, I said indeed to you the house, also your father, he said then, far be it from me, for those who honor me, I will honor. Now this is a promise of God. And you can exercise that covenant through prayer and remind God and tell him, Father, you said in your word, never come to God in your own merits. Come to him in the merits of the covenant, because the covenant has to do with the blood of Jesus. And it has to do with Jesus and the blood and the sacrifice that the Lord Jesus Christ made. It has nothing to do with you and me. What you and I do, we exercise it. One more time. What you and I do is we exercise that covenant. But never come to him in your own merits. But if you come and you say, Father, you told me here that you will honor those who honor you. I told you on Thursday evening. I was believing God for something. I said, I'm going to sell these animals, some calves. And I sold a few. And I left others. And yesterday, they contacted my son. Someone, I said, I'll buy you the rest. I sold them in two different parts. Because I told my God. I said, Father, help me to sell these animals. Very well sold. And all. I'm not going to grab the tithing. I'm not going to grab offering. All of it. I'm not going to grab tithing. All will be sown in the kingdom. You said that you will honor. And guess what? It's a seed for me. He who sows, I'll have a harvest. Why did I say it? To tell you my businesses or to show off? No, to give you an example. Because there are many who do not give an example. Up until you're willing to go farther ahead, the economy of the world will not affect you. Now, of course, we don't want bad governments who do almost destroy a country like this one, which is almost destroyed. But the governments and the people don't pay attention and don't give these types of examples, nothing will happen to you because you and I have a covenant. And God will honor you. Honor has to do with something heavy, with great things in your lives, in all areas, not just financial. In all areas. And you can go and say, Father, I will honor you. And if I am not honoring you in one area, let me know, please. Let me know. If I am not honoring you in an area, if in something I am dishonoring you out of ignorance, please tell me in the name of Jesus. Let me know, and I give you thanks beforehand, and I give you my word. God will let you know. That what? That you can close all doors to the devil. Amen. And you go ahead and farther ahead, and you say, thank you, Father. You go before him. You honor God. On Saturday, wake up early so you're not sleeping on Sunday service. That's honoring God. Amen. There'll be a Dracula at 1, 2 in the morning. That you can come and hear the word of God. It's part of honoring God. If God is first, it will be shown to you. You'll do the best that you can. But when you honor God, how many of you, perhaps one time, a person in your life, husband, wife, son, somebody from your family, you tried to honor them with a gift because it was Mother's Day, Father's Day, their birthday, whatever. Perhaps you worked long hours, perhaps you worked overtime, perhaps you worked 2 or 3 days extra to have the money to honor them, correct? You did a sacrifice because you wanted. No one obligated. It was born out of your heart. When you want to honor God, it will be shown. Someone say amen. Stand on your feet with me. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you. Thank you, sir. Thank you very much. You want to honor God, it will be shown. God is first in your life. Then you can go in the covenant and say, Father, you said, and I believe, and I know that you do not lie. And your word says that it is impossible for you to lie. I believe you, Lord. Thank you. I believe you.
And you're going to honor God. Understood how much He loves you. Good, the grace have understood that we deserve to die and go to hell. But the Lord sent Son. And we understood it with revelation. That, wow, I was on my way to hell. But God the Father sent His Son, and the Lord was willing to come for me. I didn't deserve that, but I was with Christ. Remove that vocabulary. I deserve it. I don't deserve anything. It's by the grace of God. The world walks by, I deserve it. But you and I walk by faith. By the principles of the kingdom, because we honor God. When someone says, it's because you deserve it, because you work a lot, because you're smart, and you say, it's because of the grace. If I'm hardworking, it's because the Lord taught me. And the Bible says that if someone glorifies themselves, let it be in the Lord. Lord, we glorify in you. That everything we have and everything we are, it's because of you. We give thanks because it's a privilege that we can sow and we can give in the kingdom. We give you glory, honor, exaltation to you. We worship you, we bless you. So we exalt you, we honor you. Those who are going to give this morning, you said that you will honor those who honor you. We give you honor. Manifest word in their lives. We receive it in Jesus' name.
We hope you have enjoyed today's teaching brought to you by Word of Faith Ministries. For more information about our ministry, contact us at 480-458-8618. Or visit our website, mpfccc.org.